Meeting your fans in person can be a little overwhelming, especially when there's a line out the door and you still want to give them everything you got.
For Vivacious, she gave so much at RuPaul's DragCon, she ended up going to the hospital for a little post-expo fixer-upper. But don't worry, she's back in good health and is ready to give more. Vivacious is offering a special Kickstarter reward for cooking with drag queens. Listen to find out what it is.
Today, Vivacious kikis with us about being a booth babe for her own booth at RuPaul's DragCon New York and introducing Trinacia, the three-headed beast that triples your pleasure and triples your fun.
Plus, can an artificial intelligence really tell if you're gay just by looking at your face?
Lady Gaga wants Madonna to tell her she's a piece of shit.
And Pennywise from the movie It and the Babadook as a gay couple has an unusual origin story.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Hello.
Hello.
Mother, where is my fan?
Oh, Fausto, where is your fan?
I heard that there was some shady black queen. She was so black, she had three heads on her head. And I heard that you were doing an interview with her. And when you weren't looking, she pulled a traditional Paris is Burning and moved and mopped your fan, bitch.
Hey. You sure did, Vivacious. Oh, it was so good to see you at DragCon. But I left my fan that I use with the interviews with you at your booth. Oh, there it is. God damn it.
Hey,
click switch.
Yes. I'm so sorry that I stole your fan, but it's in good hands now. I should put it up on put it up for ransom or something, as I drop off four cases of RuPaul World of Wonder bags full of RuPaul bucks, honey, and send them over to me, and I'll put it back at the Javits Center so you could pick her up.
Honey, we live about 5 blocks away from Little Chinatown here in Chicago. I could walk right over there tomorrow and get a new one for a couple bucks.
You better.
That's the same thing Fausto said earlier. He's like, I've got to send Mark back to Chinatown to go get me one.
Mm-hmm. Now, Vivacious, this is the first time you've gone to DragCon, and you were face-to-face for 2 days with pretty much every fan you have, and your actual fans that you fan yourself with, in the New York City area. What was the experience like for you?
I had a motherfucking blast. One of the things about me is, if anybody has known me for the last 20 years, when I meet people, I don't just like to say hello. I want to hug them. And I think I probably hugged over 12,000 people that day. One of the people that I most likely wanted to hug were the parents, when I realized that it was an older adult that decided to pay for that ticket so that their young child could come to the convention. So the moms or the aunts would be standing on the side, or the dads. And after they, I would say, is that your mother, your father, your dad, or your uncle? And once they told me that's who that was, I would run over to them or tell them to come on in and so I could give them a hug. Because if it wasn't for those parents, those kids would not be there. And they need to know that we, you know, as an LGBT community, want to thank them for having the courage to bring their children. I had so much fun.
The courage or the fear, because those kids have, like, if you don't take me to the RuPaul's DragCon,
I'm gonna burn down this house and do a death drop in your kitchen, Grandma. You heard me.
Yeah, because the parents don't know what a death drop is, and it sounds very dangerous and violent.
Mm-hmm. Until they see Laganja do it, then they realize it's like watching a tornado hit the side of a building going 60 miles an hour.
Yeah, slay you. I'm like, oh, please don't hurt me, little Lactatia. Little Lactatia was backstage with us in T.S. Madison when we were interviewing her.
Oh, work. She actually stopped by my booth later on. And so I was able to take a picture with her. And then I gave her mother a hug also. So that was actually lots of fun.
Lactatia, for people don't know, is the little 12-year-old drag queen who was featured with you in the Elle magazine interview.
Exactly.
She had her choice of any drag queen she could meet, and she chose you. because, you know, because Ginger Minj wasn't available. She was busy getting married.
Was that really, did that really actually happen?
I guess so. We saw Ginger Minj and she just looked super guilty. Like she, I forgot to invite you guys to my wedding. I'm so sorry. Don't hate me, y'all.
Like she ate the bride and the groom.
You said it, not me. Her groom's a pretty hefty meal of himself. You know, he's a nice little bear there.
Yeah, he looked like a pig in shit. He was so happy. He's like, he's married, like, the love of my life.
Half. I get half.
Yeah.
He's like, Eddie! I want half, Ginger. I've been your love Mookie Mookie for many years. I want half.
His name's CJ, and he's like, CJ later. I'm taking half.
CJ later.
I was telling Foster, I was like, remember when Ivana Trump was getting a divorce from Donald Trump, and the Post had that headline saying, Ivana better deal?
Yes.
I was like, Foster, what for their divorce, what's CJ going to say? CJ later? It's not like, that they're going to get divorced. I'm just making it. No, congratulations to both of them. I think it's great.
Yeah, listen, it's not every day you can legally marry your love of your life, you know, and these two lovely people have been in our home many a times, and it's really great to see them tie the knot. Mm-hmm. And now they'll know the joy that Mark and I experience every day.
Every single day.
Welcome to my paradise.
Forever and ever.
it's
great.
No, Vivacious, I thought it was really great actually seeing your fans stand up in front. Like, they were actually, like, people were paying $5 and $10 to have their photograph taken with you.
Well, what we had set up a system like this. Everybody knows that a con is where a queen can maximize her presence. It's no difference than if a club was to say, hey, we are booking a whole bunch of queens, and if you want to have a meet and greet with them, you have to pay $20 extra per etc. You know, so this allowed a queen that even if she sneezed, she could get money for her sneeze. If she wanted to rip out one of her eyelashes and sell it, she could sell it and make money from it.
Now, how much did you make for giving head to all those people? I mean, Ornacia's head, I mean.
I think we got the joke the first time.
Well, let's just clear the record. My head game is on point.
Mm-hmm. Both of them.
Okay. Yes.
All yes. Three. They call you Jaws.
I don't think I've ever seen somebody give so much head to so many different people.
I know, right? Well, you know what? It's called caring is sharing, and sharing is fun. My philosophy on that was to give them as much as I possibly can and let them feel, you know, because one thing I do know from doing this for many, many years, a lot of queens don't personally connect with the fans that they have around them. They treat them as this, you stay over there, I'm over here, type of a deal. Me, I'm the type of person, I'm going to know your name, rank, serial number, and call your mother when you mess up. So I'm going to hug you in the process also.
But, you know, you went to the doctor and got your vaccinations beforehand, right? Because, you know, when I started, like, working retail or working as an elementary school teacher, I started getting colds all the time. And I hear this from a lot of the queens. They get on RuPaul's Drag Race, and I know some of them on season 10 and who may be listening, because they're starting to film that right now. And you're going to meet all these fans. And you want to wash your hands after meeting your fans because there's a lot of germs and you know, don't keep your fingers out of your ears, nose and throat.
You want a Silkwood shower after you want to be hosed down and scrubbed.
And these people are good people and they don't mean you no harm. But at the same time,
lice. They have good intentions, but they come with bad. They come with a bad.
Yes. People who work retail will tell you this. You know, when you start that job, the first year, you're going to be like, you know, when you go into college and you're surrounded by all these people. And for drag queens who get on RuPaul's Drag Race, they're suddenly like accosted by thousands and thousands of fans week after week. And it can be pretty hard on your immune system. In fact, you were telling me some of the handlers from Drag Race actually give you vitamin C, like emergency packets.
I was given emergency packets so that I can go home and refresh myself to make it to the next day, and given them again the second day so I could get back and recover. Yes.
Yeah, I thought the position of your booth at DragCon was a little, it was kind of a little bit shady, because you were just like kitty corner right from your nemesis.
Which
James
nemesis?
James Mansfield.
Hey, shapeshifters.
Well, she was, let's see, I think she was three sections away on a diagonal.
Oh, so but you could see from her booth, you could see right to your booth, though.
You could see the line that stretch around the block for you, and you could see the two or three people in front of James Mansfield's booth.
Don't go there with that lady. Don't you dare.
I went to James Mansfield's booth, and I saw she was giving away her autographs and her photo opportunities and everything. And I was like, there's this one woman, and she's like, does it cost any money to have my photo taken with James Mansfield? And I said, she is a working artist. Give her at least a dollar. And she pulls out this wad of cash, and I said, lady, make it rain. And so she starts pulling out, like, probably was about $30 on top of James Mansfield. And James Mansfield was like stuffing it into her fake plastic boobs, which, you know, she just starts realizing at the last day of DragCon that you can't stuff money into plastic boobs.
She had some in there.
And she got some in there and stuff. But I was just like, you know, I want to volunteer for any of the drag queens. If they ever do a drag con in Chicago, I'll hustle. I'll, what is the term? Barking.
You're barking mad.
Yeah. I'm gonna tell the people to give you some money. Cause it's one thing if you ask for money, but it's another thing if your friend of yours stands next to you and say, hey, Vivacious is worth a lot more than this.
A big guy with muscles saying, pony up some cash.
Yeah, and bitch. Come like, on. Yeah. Make it rain, lady.
I think I had the more astute set of fan base who understood that to meet, you know, someone from a TV show, it involved coughing up a little bit of pointadas or some donation.
I can double the revenue for you, and I'll do this. I'll double the revenue, and I'll keep 50%.
Honey, that sounds like Nina Bonina math. You could keep that tip to yourself.
Well, that would be only 25% of, I would only keep 25% of the increase that you normally get. But I'll be counting the money, of course.
This was James's second drag con.
It was,
The first one with Nina Bonina Brown. By the second one, she should have been a pro in terms of somehow, you know, parlaying to her fans that every movement, transaction, interaction comes with a monetary reward, so to speak.
Yeah, and I don't know if James actually did have that happening, because we only just caught the tail end of the last day. So, you know, and I don't want to be like, she's probably listening to this like, Fausto, I did that already.
The thing is, when you go to these conventions and expos, it's usually the, like, 2 or 3 days, and that last day, it's like after the last couple hours of the expo, people just kind of, they just give up, because they're just like, they're ready to move on.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The first day I was all huggy, huggy, huggy and bubbly voice. I went home and realized that I probably did lose my voice from the first day and the second day. I tried to be as exuberant as I possibly could. I showed it with my actions, but I couldn't talk that much because I knew that I had to do the Paris is Burning panel afterwards. And I wanted to make sure that I still had a voice to speak to the audience in that room. So I had to curtail my talking, which I was a bit saddened by, because I really didn't want to speak more. But the truth of the matter is, from being so talkative on the first day, I actually almost nearly lost my voice by the time the second day came around.
How was your panel on the Paris is Burning?
Michelle kind of mostly geared it towards the Kiki kids. Kiki is the new movie that came out. So Kiki is based on the newer generation of young LGBT kids who try to get into the older houses, who were turned away because they kind of came off as a little bit too forceful or messy. So they went out on their own and created their own scene and their own houses. And what they do actually does mirror the old school way of the ballroom scene. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like if, you know, it's kind of like if somebody turns you away for being LGBT, you're going to find all the other LGBT kids who are turning away and create your own little LGBT. Sure.
Kiki, you know, because we did see Kiki Foster and I, and I have to say, it's like they give you a little warning before you see it. They say this movie is not for entertainment purposes. It's a documentary to showcase how social workers in New York City are using like the ballroom house to reach at risk kids, you know, for like for housing and for HIV and AIDS outreach.
When they said this movie is not for entertainment purposes, the whole audience collectively gasped.
Because we're like, oh,
they're
no.
Like, oh.
But, you know, it's important work. And we've seen them do that here, that same kind of work here in Chicago, because you want to meet the kids where they're at and you want to provide some kind of space for them to be very creative. And dance is a wonderful place to do that.
Right. I've tried to reach out with the New York City LGBT scene in terms of the LGBT center, but they have their own agenda in terms of what they want to do. It's my second or third year trying to reach out with them, trying to set something up. But whoever is in charge has a different idea of what they think should be going on down there. So every time I try again, my emails and messages just goes into their dumpster. My philosophy is what I can bring to your scene would probably be more fun for the kids than what you probably think that you're doing. That's just me personally. Because I'll tell you why. Uh-huh. Because
blast them.
I do get hired in other states where they bring me into their LGBT companies, into their LGBT communities to do stuff. And it's a huge success. And I was trying to mirror that in here in New York. But apparently they have no vision over there. And I'm not trying to read. I'm just saying, get your Helen Keller glasses together.
Now, let's talk about your outfit for the second day, because you had three heads on you because you look like one of those fidget spinners.
Which I am not no fucking fidget spinner, bitch. You need to stop saying that shit. You're as bad as Adam Barter going games off cones. I'm like, girl. Stop with the damn reference.
Yeah.
I mean, on this,
you had a name for the three heads. Hold on a second. It's Shiwana, Shinida, and Ornacia.
Otherwise known as my fan base as Trinacia. Ornacia always had two older sisters. So if Ornacia is 8, her two sisters are about 14 years old. They are twins. Shanita and Shawana. Shanita borrow your car, Shawana borrow your wig. And so they sit on the left and right side of me. I've had pictures of them in the past. You could see me performing with them at Club Pacha and other clubs over the years in YouTube videos. So I've also updated them along and brought them along for DragCon. What happened was the first day I was in an elegant gown. You know, elegant is not a word for you SAT children out there. I was in an elegant gown with an Ornacia on my head. And then it was day two. And it was like, well, how are you going to top day? Day one was such a success in terms of people want to take a picture with an Ornacia on their head and just wanted to take a picture with Ornacia in general that I was like, there's no way I'm going to go into day two without putting another Ornacia on me. And it was like, okay, what are you going to do? Oh, bitch, use the outfit that you were going to use for the Ornacia track. Wear that for DragCon instead. By the way, my Ornacia track is finished. Within the next 48 hours, it will be submitted to iTunes to be released.
Ooh.
And within the next 4 weeks, there will be a music video. The music video hopefully will consist of the fans just doing day-to-day life movements in their own Ornacias while the track is going. It won't really much feature me. It's going to feature them. I want my video to feature the fans doing their regular life, like Ornacia going shopping, doing a death drop.
Oh, that's so much fun.
Walking children in nature.
Are you asking people to just like to submit video to you or what?
How it's going to work is everyone that has bought an Ornacia under when I was saying buy an Ornacia, end up in a music video. Those are the people that are going to be called individually to support, to send in their section. The funny part is we've gotten so many people responses in terms of who wanted to be a part of it, that if you divided the amount of seconds by the amount of people, there is not enough time to put all of them in the video. That's the
sad you just part. You see what they end up sending you, and then you just go from there.
Well, what I wanted to do was I was going to make, for the ones that didn't make it in the first video, I was then going to put them in subsequent music videos, even if the track has nothing to do with Ornatia, just put them in as a fan in a video falling in there somewhere, and still make Ornatia be a part of that, because she's her own character. She's her own thing. She's her own world. And, you know, that's what I'm going to do. From this point forward, Ornatia's actually going to be in part of everything that I do. So, but the second day I was like, okay, you came into DragCon in one head. What are you going to do for the second day to outdo yourself? And it was like, come in three heads, bitch. That'll make the kids gag. So I went to my famous drag closet, pulled out the red costume, and came in all three, and people were like, oh, shit.
It was three times the head, three times the flavor, three times the fun.
Let me tell you something. People always think it's fun and games to have more than one mouth giving you head out of glory hole. It is not fun when they're all trying to fight for the same space.
So did you have problems like going to the bathroom wearing that thing, or how did,
I mean, each one of them have their own bladder dysfunctional problem, and they want to take it out on me. And I'm like, bitch, I'm not ready to go yet. And she was like, well, if you don't want to go now, I'll golden shower you. I'm like, okay, let me take a break and take care of you.
So were you wearing diapers underneath that jumpsuit, or how did you manage all this?
In the case of the older children from Shady Pines retirement home, the answer to that is it depends.
Wait a minute. You wear diapers underneath your jumpsuit in order so you have to use the bathroom?
No. This thing, I am not Lady Bunny. How fucking dare you?
Oh, girl. Because those tuck jobs I've seen, I'm just like, don't give her anything to drink. She's going to explode.
No, honey, my snatcher Tora and is very tight down there. I mean, my shit is so flat, you could play handball off of it. No. Actually, the whole day for both days, my whole crew looked at me and said, you never once had to use the bathroom. I didn't. I went in. I'm one of those queens. The minute that I'm in costume, I'm in that role from the top to the bottom.
Honey, we call you the camel because you can go walk through the desert without a drop.
Exactly. I've never had that issue. At no point did I have to go and say, hey, I need to, readjust and, expeculate some fluids from my body or anything like that. I didn't have to do any of that whatsoever. I literally held it in for all 14 hours from the time I put on the drag on till it was time to take it off when I got back home. Can we just give a fierce fucking shout out to World of Wonder, Randy and Fenton, RuPaul herself, and the whole crew for putting together DragCon in New York, because it really felt like it was an inside gay pride inside a controlled building, meaning that we didn't have to worry about it. Even if it was raining, we were going to still have fucking fun because this building was glass, the sun was coming in, and we were all on the inside, just giving so much color, so much flair, so much attitude, so much fierceness, so much love, so much devotion and community. You know, it was like, I mean, so many people in one building, and not one bitch was trying to fight the other one over who stole their eyelash.
No, in fact, T.S. Madison was telling young little Lactatia not to Google her name.
It's like, so T.S. Madison, what's the one advice would you like to give Lactatia? Lactatia, darling, don't Google my name.
That's pretty much what she said.
Pretty much, yes.
Word for word, the conversation. And Lactatia was just like, She was
whatever,
like,
crazy lady.
She was like, okay, lady. But, you know, her hairstylist, Mr. Gardner, I forgot his first name, Terrell. He helped Lactatia style her wig.
Get the flyaways out.
And Lactatia looked fantastic. Mm-hmm. She was a proper little queen.
Yes, she did.
Very
she
polite.
She certainly did. Yes. Did you see the other queen as well that was young also, Desmond?
We did, Desi. Yeah. Desmond was upstairs in some of the press area with his parents walking around in a little tutu. He did not, like, do much face makeup, though, and he was not wearing a wig. So no. I'm gonna have to grade his drag very harshly.
In the words of Lady Bunny, I would give him an E for effort.
Well, I don't even know if there was that much effort put into it.
Well, if it was between Lactatia and Desmond is amazing,
I would give it to Lactatia.
You know, and when it comes to kids, everybody's a winner, right? They're not gonna be forcing them lip sync. Or are they?
I would say Lactatia's look was very well put together. I loved it. I love the energy of her mom, and I love the energy of her dad. They are both great, wonderful parents. And
I wanted to meet Lactatia's dad. I couldn't find him anywhere. It's like he's a cute bear. I'm correct,
I think he stayed back in touch. Listen, when those two go on the road, Dad has to stay home to still make money, sweetie. You can't be all jumping on the road. Who's going to pay the bills to keep the house going and the lights? You want to come back home to, like, you know, eviction? No, somebody has to stay home, you know, and hold down the fort. And so Dad was back home being the hero that he is, holding it all down while Lactatia and Mom went gallivanting back down to New York. Initially, I was going to tell them about DragCon when I did the interview with both of them. But on my end, it was like, well, do I really want to tell them that so they could come running back to New York when they just spent so much money trying to get to New York the first time to get everything done? You know, it's like traveling from country to country takes money.
Yeah.
Well, he was paid to be there by World of Wonder, I would assume.
I don't know. I never once heard of no World of Wonder paying for nobody to be anywhere on this. Hi, congratulations. You've made it to RuPaul's Drag Race. That's the only time that World of Wonder will pay for anything.
I can imagine that a lot of the queens are getting ready. There's the rumors are that on the grapevine that they're about to start taping, and every queen is putting together all their looks and trying to fit. And I think you can only get like 6 suitcases to put all that stuff in.
Right? In my season, it was 5.
5 suitcases.
The airlines has a rate back when I did it for $585. You tell them, hey, I'm here for the 5 suitcase special, and it's just a flat 5 price of $585. They don't weigh your suitcase, they just put the tags on it and send you straight through.
Damn, honey. So you're vacuum packing your costumes and wigs. How do you travel with a wig?
The only professional hoe who knew how to do that was Miss Gia motherfucking Gunn, honey. She had all her shit vacuum packed, and she made sure that on the LA end, they had a vacuum for her when she needed to be eliminated and go back home. I actually did vacuum some stuff to bring to LA, and it actually worked.
Because otherwise it doesn't fit.
If you want to get everything in there, you need to suck that shit down. I bought like 35 vacuum bags and put the stuff in there. I will say, though, I do believe season 10 is going to be a fierce season for RuPaul's Drag Race. Knowing Mother Ru, she's going to pick some really fine bitches that's going to throw down, and that's going to turn it and make it worth its while in terms of what we get to watch in another 9 months to come.
The rumors are that 3 queens from Cooking with Drag Queens, pretty much anybody who hasn't been on RuPaul's Drag Race from Cooking with Drag Queens, is going to be on the next season of RuPaul's Drag Race.
So all you reluctant queens out there who want to throw shade because somebody told you don't come on Cooking with Drag Queens, guess what? The only thing you're doing is setting yourself up for never not getting on RuPaul's Drag Race. You might want to contact Mark and Foss, though, to help you.
You might want to share the Kickstarter, and you can do that by going to cookingwithdragqueens.com. You know, start following us, you know, make a little donation and just share it with people.
Right now, we have 35 days to go, and we are not...
We're 15% of the way there.
15% of the way there, so it's we're sweating it. Right now, we're at $3,105 of the goal of $20,000. And remember, hunties, this is all or nothing. The Cooking with Drag Queens will be saved only and only if it reaches its goal by Thursday, October 19th, 27. And one of our goals for next year is to get Vivacious into Chicago to stir the pot in our kitchens. Mm.
If you donate $200 towards Cooking with Drag Queens, I will do a 1-hour interview with you on the phone with Cooking with Drag Queens as the moderator for your question.
So you can talk to Vivacious for, but that's only if the Kickstarter works. Like, if it gets funded.
Well, yeah, right? You don't get an award if it doesn't get funded. Yeah. Are you offering that for an award?
I'm going to put it up right now.
I guess. I just offered that because this is also what I realized.
Vivacious will talk to you on the phone for an hour.
I talk about your mama. I talk about your screen. I could talk about anything that I could comprehend.
I'll tell you what I had for breakfast. I'll tell you what I'm thinking about for lunch.
That plane ticket's going to be a little more expensive. Let's.
No, it's a phone call. It's a phone call.
This one is a phone call.
And we'll moderate it.
Oh, right. We're moderating it so they don't get your phone number.
Right, exactly. I'm not giving up my phone number. This ain't Tyra and Tatiana with Morgan McMichaels. Honey, don't go there.
What does that mean?
Well, when that whole scandal happened with them, Tatiana, I think Tyra had posted a screenshot, the picture of somebody going, "Hey, sis, you shouldn't say that." And it was Tatiana's number. She screenshot on Instagram. And now everybody knew Tatiana's number. And then they all started harassing her. So Tatiana turned around and gave out Tyra's number, and Morgan's number somehow got up in there. So at the end of the day, all three girls were victims of nasty little troll fans trying to call them, going, "Hey, girl."
Oh, yeah. Chasers. So the term is called doxing, which we've been doxed. The only problem is when they dox us, they started posting our customer service phone number and address for our T-shirts. And everyone's like, "Take that, Feast of Fun." And I'm like, "Ooh, they're going to send, you know, a T-shirt to us," you know. And I was just like, I don't know. Part of me is like, doxing is really, I feel so sad for the people who do that, you know, because it really is a very ugly thing to do. And
they're lashing out.
And they're just like, they're in their own hell, you know, because most people, it's like, listen, you know, most of us are smart enough, at least. I mean, like RuPaul tells you not to use your birth name as your stage name. And thankfully, a lot of drag queens actually have aliases. And so it's really hard to find their home address.
But my legal name is Vivacious.
Yeah, right. Okay, whatever, Myron.
Oh, bitch! I am not Serena Chacha, motherfucker.
What is it? Ormond?
What, we're not going to ask you for your birth certificate name.
Mark wants to get his tongue slit like a slithering child over there, honey.
Did you hear this tea that you know how RuPaul's Drag Race was nominated for a bunch of Emmys this year, right? And that RuPaul actually won for Outstanding Host of a Reality TV Show for the second year in a row. But from what I understand, you know how they had nominated for Best Makeup? You remember that, right? I guess it had been withdrawn. And the reason why it was withdrawn, it was because it was for the first episode of this season. And that was with Matthew Anderson. Matthew Anderson was the makeup artist who did the first episode. And then he, for whatever reason, left the production after that episode. And so that episode was nominated, but was nominated under Delta Works and Raven's name, right? Willem was not having it. And so Willem informed the people from the Emmys that it was Matthew Anderson who actually worked on the first episode and not Raven and Delta. If I was Willem and Matthew was my friend, I would say I would probably do something like that too, because I would say, "This is my friend. He's the one that deserves the award." You know, so for that, I totally understand him. But if he was just doing it because he hates Raven and he hates Delta or he hates World of Wonder, that's a bitch move. And I don't know if I like him even more because of that. But I'm not really sure what his motivation was, you know. I mean, the truth is the truth, but it's like, you know, sometimes you just kind of have to let things slide. And I have to say, Delta and Raven have done a wonderful job this past season with RuPaul and have made her look absolutely wonderful. So, you know, and they may have been very much deserving of an Emmy nomination anyway.
Exactly. That's what we call back home. If you are old school queen, we call that hashtag. That's a Scandalucci.
Scandalucci?
A Scandalucci.
Mm-hmm.
That is some scandalous shit right there, honey.
Right? When I heard it, I was just like, oh, my jaw dropped. Yeah, because he posted it on Facebook. He was just like, yeah, it's like, whatever. Matthew is the one who did that episode.
My take on that is, even if that was my friend and he's not with the show anymore, I would not have ruffled any feathers to cause any break or flow in any misdirection, because at the end of the day, it still benefits everyone. Mm-hmm. We all know upfront that if it was given to Raven or Delta, they were both going to dedicate it to Matthew regardless, because Raven had spoken on that on social media over 8 weeks ago when it first came to light. Mm-hmm. So Raven was not going to take it and just try to pretend as though she did this. Mm-hmm. She was going to take it in honor of Matthew. And actually, she felt a bit slighted that, yes, Raven actually did a FaceTime on Instagram made of maybe about an hour, if not longer, talking about this. And she kind of felt that, you know, if anyone who should be taking this honor, it should be Matthew. And if he's not there, she's going to accept it on his behalf and in his honor and still dedicate it to him.
Mm.
So, and that was publicly known. And I know Raven has always been a stand up type of a girl.
Sure.
And there's no way that she was going to take that and try to run with it. Because first of all, the fan base is quite astute in terms of they know who made RuPaul look like RuPaul for the last 37 years. And if Raven had tried to take in that for herself, they would have dragged her across the finish line like they've done so many people.
Is there a beef between Willem and Raven and Delta?
I'm going to be honest with you. My only friends in World of Wonder is Theron, RuPaul, Mandy Salongsong, Randy, and the top guys. I don't get involved with queens because at the end of the day, queens are bitches and I don't need no bitches around me. So, no.
Are you including yourself in that?
I don't keep company with drag queens.
You know, you and I hang out every chance we get. And I'm a drag queen, too.
You're from Christian Mingle. Shut the hell up. You don't count. I mean, seriously. No, I don't. Because I've learned a long time ago that not many people are on my level. And some people be like, well, girl, you don't have a level, so we need to get down to your level. It doesn't matter. You can read me for teeth, coins, and tooth. It doesn't matter. My level
what
is my level.
What do you mean by level? Like professionalism or evolution or peacefulness?
All the above. Some queens can be insecure. Some queens are petty. Some queens, are just catty, cheeky. All the words that could be negative on the planet, put all into one. Synonym, and I try to stay away from people who exhibit such behaviors. So that's why I don't keep company with them in that sense. And because I don't need their energy to reflect off of me or become a part of my mantra or my chant. So I keep them 900 miles away from myself.
Well, I feel sorry. I really do deeply feel sorry for people who feel like they have to resort to this kind of behavior. And this is not just, the drag queens. This is people, some of the judges, some of the television producers, and not just in World of Wonder and RuPaul's Drag Race, but elsewhere. Anybody who's in entertainment who feels that they have to start like belittling other people or backstabbing other people or gossiping in a really malicious way, they're robbing themselves out of the joy of getting to meet other human beings on a creative, on a artistic level. And
that is true.
For us, like, you know, going to Drag Con or meeting the fans, it's like a family reunion, because we put out the best of ourselves out there as much as possible. And so when we meet the listeners of the show face to face, Myron, Andreas, and
Brandon, there's so many people over the weekend.
You know, like, we met them and they were just full of love. They were beautiful people, you know, and it was just like this one Brazilian woman. She looked at me in the eyes. I actually filmed her testimony, and she said, she was like, "You're doing really, really important work. And I especially like all your podcasts with Vivacious."
Well, I'm going to say this for this is what I did notice at DragCon. Ladies and gentlemen, a feast of fun, all you wonderful fans. I had probably more than 60% of the people who came to my booth actually said, "I only came to come see your ugly looking ass because I listened to you on Feast of Fun." So at this point in my life, I have to sign a 5-year contract with Feast of Fun.
You know, I have to say, I've met a lot of people through this drag revolution, and you have to be probably one of the best people we've met.
Oh, thank you so very much. And to the Feast of Fun fans out there that do support, I do truly appreciate you. And whenever we meet, I'm giving y'all a hug. And to the ones that I met at DragCon, it was a pleasure to meet you all. And I hope RuPaul does this again next year so I can hug y'all again.
I want them to bring DragCon to Chicago. I think it'd be a beast.
I think there should only be 2 DragCons, because after that, it becomes too much of something.
They have Comic Cons, though, all over the country. They have C2E2 here in Chicago. They have Wizard World.
This franchise is expanding. Mm-hmm. They're talking about doing DragCon in Toronto, in Canada.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're bringing that everywhere, honey. They're even bringing it to Austin, Texas.
But guess what? just kidding. Club Kids UK just did their drag con a few 3 weeks before the New York one. Mm-hmm. They had Alaska Ginger Minge and the top 5 girls, and I hated that shit because none of those motherfuckers. How you gonna call your party Club Kids UK and I'm a fucking club kid and you ain't never once called me over there? Yes, I'm calling you out right now. Hi, how are you?
You tell them.
I'm speaking to me over here in the Magic Tube. I sound like
gave them a free plug, and these are the people who ignore you.
Exactly. And I'm sitting here going, your party's called Club Kid. I'm like, honey, back in 92, I used to be a club kid back at Ministry of Sound in London, girl.
Yes.
I've been in your country before y'all even knew what was going on. I'm part of that original scene with Baby D, Let Me Be Your Fantasy. Look me up. Next to Goldie, you'll see a black queen. That's Vivacious as a boy. It's an old raver, bitch. I got around back in the day. I didn't get here 92? Yesterday. Yes, child. You're a baby. Honey, I'm still 19. It's 2017.
Black 19, don't crack, but... honey. It just the berry gets darker and more flavorful.
It's like the darker the berry, the sweeter the juice.
That's right.
What else happened at DragCon this past weekend for you?
Well, I got interviewed by these two wonderful guys. With one of them had some juicy pink glittery lips, and then he had this cute camera guy, so I said hello to the camera guy before the guy with the microphone, and the other dude with the glittery lips thought I forgot his name. And no, my philosophy is the guy in front of the camera is already seen. You might as well say hello to the one that's not behind the camera first.
Oh, well, thank you, Vivacious.
Well, that video that we taped, that's now up exclusively for the Kickstarter people. So if you pledge $3 or more, go to cookingwithdragqueens.com. You can watch the entire video of Vivacious being shady to me and being flirting with Mark. Well, the whole idea was a tutorial on how to handle the fans, both in people and in, you know, fans you cool yourself off with. The props.
By the way, were you able to get a chance to have to speak to Cynthia Lee Fontaine while you were there?
We did. She was, unfortunately, we're not able to film her. I talked to her briefly. She said she saw the Cooking with Drag Queens episode. It moved her to tears. She felt like we had really like captured a side of her life that people had really never seen. And
now she's gonna burn down.
And of course, she was like, where's the pasta? She was like, did you bring some with? And I'm like, girl,
we
should
have brought some.
I don't want to carry like pasta, you know, a casserole in the suitcase in case I run into you.
That would, could you imagine that though? Showing up to DragCon with pasta.
I was worried they wouldn't let you in with outside food. And then I found out that the hot dog vendor outside was making a chicken gyros. And I was like, I'll have two of those. Because there was a line for the burgers and fries inside.
Yeah, I don't think they were enough. Yeah.
How much were they charging?
Girl, they were doubling the prices of that. It was like two gyros were like $20.
So catch this shade about Ms. Jacob Javits Center. So there are a whole bunch of places, one, just like half a block and one block away from there that you can eat at, and all those places are told that they have to be shut down anytime that there's a convention going on at Javits Center.
Really?
What?
Yes, girl. No. Yes. So
they can make their money.
I'm not even joking. No, it's not. It's part of the contract that those people have signed, that if they try to, so there's a fierce deli that sells really good gourmet sandwiches, like half an avenue away on 34th Street, and she gets the, She's shut down, honey. She's been shut down for the last 5 years. Anytime there's something going on at Javits Center, it's like no one in the area is allowed to be open but them.
Yeah, I hear they're the loading dock's pretty shady. Like, we actually went to an expo about almost 10 years ago there, and we had a bunch of T-shirts shipped over there to give away to the fans for free. And the guys
sponsored them.
It was sponsored by a T-shirt printing company. And the guys at the loading docks just said, you haven't bribed us, so send it away. And it was just like, I was so disappointed. You know, it's like, why would they run their business that way? But that's the reality of it.
Vivacious, are you excited for Lady Gaga's Netflix documentary coming out?
I think that, you know, I haven't heard about it, but now that you've said something about it, I think it'll be interesting to see what facets that they have picked together. I hope that they tell an authentic tale in terms of, you know, I hope they don't exaggerate things to blow it out of line.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. And of course, you know, some of the promotion for it is rather sensationalistic. She starts talking about Madonna. You want to hear what she said about Madonna?
Yeah. Yes, I would love to hear.
Yes.
Okay. So, all right. So this is it. The thing with me and Madonna is that I admire her always and still admire her, no matter what she might think of me. The only thing that really bothers me about her is that I'm Italian and from New York. So if I have a problem with somebody, I'm going to tell you to your face. She wouldn't look me in the eye and tell me I'm reductive. I just want Madonna to push me up against the wall and kiss me and tell me I'm a piece of shit.
What, Gaga? I live. I'm sorry, Mark, but that is fucking fierce.
That's like pretty good.
She's a sub bottom. Who knew? Yeah.
No, but here's the thing, though. I would actually put myself in Gaga's shoes and say those same lines. It's like, I'm a big fan of Madonna's, and if she hated me, I will still love her regardless. You know, it's like, you know, this new generation does not understand what the word being a fan is. They believe that the word being a fan is the way how they could jump on Valentina 1 second and go, I love Valentina. And the minute that something turns negative because she wants 9 billion red M&Ms. Oh, I hate that fucking bitch. Oh, I can't stand her. Tell her don't come to the clubs. I'll throw blood at her. You know, it's like, I'm sorry. No, I'm a Madonna fan. I'm a Prince fan. I don't care if Madonna gets up tomorrow morning and go, I buy black babies so that they can make my records because they have more rhythm. I'll be like, bitch, I'm still your fan. Did Papa Don't Preach come out better? Okay, I'm going to still be your fan, but I'm still going to also still send you a letter and go, you know, Madonna, if you were going to hire a black person, it should have been me, not them.
Oh, wait a minute. I just got the title of the documentary. It's called Truth or Psychological Warfare.
Okay, hold on.
I'm just kidding. Oh, it's called Truth or Dare, because that's Madonna's documentary.
That does sound like Truth or Dare, right?
Yeah, psychological warfare. Because that's basically like what Lady Gaga kind of sometimes does with Madonna's. Is basically like the whole thing with Born This Way. Let's be really blunt about it. It was a cover of Express Yourself, right?
But guess what? But we can go back in a day and say that a lot of Madonna songs used to sound like stuff that Lady Miscure used to do as well.
Yes, but this, let's stay with me this one. The record label Interscope Records owns the right. You know, Madonna nor Lady Gaga own the rights to those songs. It's actually Interscope Records that owns the rights.
So they can wield it however they want with the next person that they want. Listen, Madonna, this is how I would take the whole Lady Gaga thing. If she made a song that compared close to yours, the only thing it did was it brought that song of yours back into more relevance. I'm not saying it never left relevance, because Madonna has never left relevance for me. What I'm saying is, if it was slightly in my hindsight, by Lady Gaga doing that version, it now brought it back to light to me. I will never compare the two of you together. I look at you both as two artists on the same path, and you have one job in life, Madonna and Lady Gaga. And that's to keep a person like me entertained, and you've both done an excellent job.
But I think a lot of record labels actually do this pretty often. The song Demons by Imagine Dragons. This is my death, kingdom come. This is my, sounds a lot like Madonna's Like a Prayer. It's just like a prayer, right? And in fact, if you go online, you can hear mashups of it comparing the two. Every Breath You Take by The Police sounds a lot like Benny King's Stand By Me.
I thought you were going to say the Benny Hill theme song.
It would be great if Lady Gaga pulled out an album that's like, if she was borrowing the Benny Hill song instead of, wouldn't that be amazing? Like, the music really sounded nutty as her costumes. And Lady Gaga has really influenced drag queens tremendously. Like, you couldn't have had DragCon the first or second or third year of Drag Race because people weren't ready for weird drag queens the way they are today. Now there's an appetite.
I think Lady Gaga, I think what happened is this. Lady Gaga came into the LGBT scene. She saw what the club kids were like, and she used that to her advantage. She
mopped it up.
And she sopped it up like a biscuit with Jesus, honey. And ladies and gentlemen, it's not called appropriation. It's called appreciation. Shut the fuck up. Okay? Don't say she stole from the LGBT community, because here's the truth. And don't say Madonna appropriated the LGBT community. She appreciated it. Okay. Yes, she at the end of the day, she walked off with more coins in her pocket. But it's because the people who were in the LGBT community were so at that point still trying to figure out how to get from A to B that business was not a part of their accoutrement, and it was a part of hers. What Lady Gaga did for Vogue, what Madonna did for Vogue is what Lady Gaga did with drag. She brought that extra oomph to it. She brought it to the... Think about this. I think it was 3 years ago when Lady Gaga did the Christmas special and she brought RuPaul on stage. Think about this.
And wearing a giant condom.
And RuPaul, Mr. Mark.
RuPaul was late on the song. We posted a clip online for it.
Shut the hell up. This is not the time to be talking about. Don't go there for Miss Mother RuPaul. I will come up and cut your records up. Think about this. It was Thanksgiving. We were all home. There are a billion people home all over the world watching Lady Gaga perform. And Lady Gaga took her star, shine, and power and brought a drag queen into the home of every single American and Earthian who was watching that day. I use the word Earthian because every single person on Earth who was watching that day saw a drag queen invade their TV screen while they were having family time together on Thanksgiving. And that's the power of having straight allies. You know, it helps to bridge that gap. It helps to open that mental dialogue. One of the main reasons why I started working in straight clubs many years ago was because I realized that a lot of straight folks don't know that gay people exist. We back then, we were that fictitious unicorn. And by being around them and let them know that, bitch, I'm not going anywhere, it opened up that dialogue and actually opened up a few of them into my bed, too. But let's not talk about that.
Jaws.
Yes.
But I'm excited. So it's going to come out, I think, like September 27th. It'll be on Netflix. So
I think that's an awesome thing. And I'm happy it's on Netflix and not Hulu, because Hulu has a problem with they always like to try to show you fucking commercials. Mm. And whereas Netflix, it's like you get right to the point.
You know, I was watching, have you seen Disjointed on Netflix? It's with Kathy Bates, and she plays the owner of a pot dispensary in California. So it's very much like a sitcom. It even has a laugh track, which is kind of weird for Netflix. But then all of a sudden, it seems like they have ads or product placement for like Lay's potato chips in there. And you're like, wait a second, this is an ad in Netflix.
Right? I paid for Netflix not to have ads.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Can we talk about, in all the years that I've had Netflix, I've never once seen a commercial ever. Mm. However, on Hulu, there's too many damn commercials to the point where I'm like, girl, shut up.
Even if you pay for it.
Now, here's the key with Hulu. And if you don't pick which one of the TV ads that you want to watch, they will keep repeating the ad over and over to torture you. And then you have to literally, like, stop Hulu and refresh the screen, and then it'll start showing a show that you need to watch. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, Hulu, I don't give
just two chill out. About- now, do you remember back around Pride when that Baba Duke character from the horror film all of a sudden became this great gay icon?
Yes. Baba Duke.
Because they were saying, you know, he wanted to come out into the light and just to be seen and to be under and to be recognized, and so he became like a gay icon. Well, now the movie out. It is out, and the Pennywise, the clown, people are pairing them up as a gay couple. And what's interesting...
So it's Pennywise and Babadook.
Yes, walking hand in hand. And there's this one Twitter user, Kumi, who did a little drawing of them together, and it's absolutely adorable.
I saw the picture.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then underneath, she goes, I do not expect this to blow up at all. I hope everyone knows the tweet this is in reference to. So somebody had tweeted out that they had a picture of Pennywise, and it says Pennywise is an LGBT ally, and it was like confirmed, you know, and so it was kind of funny. But then somebody wrote to that person and said, stop posting all this degenerate shit about iconic film characters being in favor of the fags. And the person responded, everyone is gay now, Republican, even Darth Vader's gay, he likes to stick lightsabers up his ass. To which the person responded, no, only sinners engage in butt sex. Pennywise went out of his way to terrorize the effeminate male children. The idea that his character would support the gay agenda is absurd. Take that post down. And the guy's like, nah, he's gay. He takes it up the ass. Pennywise and his boyfriend, the Babadook, are offended by you, sir.
you know, this is what I've realized about a lot of folks who tend to hold on to that old slave book they call the Bible. That book is designed to use to hold a certain mental hold over people. And those people believe that if we become smart enough and unhinge ourselves from that book, they don't have any control over us anymore. And it scares them because it means that they don't have a voice.
Mm.
And that's why they're running around running around trying to be as vigilant as they can to try to use words to try to shove us back in line. One of the things that make the LGBT community the fiercest thing that's ever happened on the planet is the fact that we can know somebody who just walked out of a glory hole with cum stain on the side of his lips, and he will walk on that stage and sing a song, and we'll be like, yes, queen, sing! Meanwhile, if that was somebody in the straight world and they did something like that, they're like, we're calling up every single organization to please remove your money financially from this person, and we want you to banish them and make sure they're destitute and broke. And it's like the LGBT community, we're like, no, we're going to support you. And that's why they hate us. It's because we are very inclusive. We don't care what your damn sin is. We look at your sin as a badge. They look at your sin as guilt. And so that's the complete opposite. And that's why they're afraid of us. Because if the world keeps moving towards peace, then it means those people who try to use fear to control everything will lose power. And that's what really scares them.
Damn. Okay, I want to, you know, everybody is really excited about facial recognition software.
Not me. Well, not me. Bitch,
I'm black. And airports and...
what does that have to do
with
anything?
Why are you not excited about
it? Honey, girl. The last thing I need, this thing, every black person, I'm going to generalize this one, and I'm going to get read to filth by the educated blacks. They were like, It's like, girl, we trying to hide from the government, honey. We don't need nobody coming in our business going, girl, I can recognize you. You know you owe us money. You owe us federal you owe us government money. I don't need no federal recognition system to realize, hey, look, it's Vivacious. Hey, girl, where's that student loan you owned from 1992? We still looking for you.
So Stanford University developed an algorithm to study that looked at 1,400 photos of course, it was white people, so you can rest assured it wasn't black people in this study, and it was able to distinguish between gay and heterosexual men and women 81% of the time. And people have exploded on the internet saying that's junk science and that this is dangerous and that the software can be used to out people in parts of the world where they need their privacy.
I wonder what some of the parameters are for this.
And so the parameter of the study, just to boil it down for a podcast here, is that gay men tend to look more feminine, our jaws tend to be more narrow, and lesbians tend to look more butch, their jaws tend to be wider.
That is such a generalization. It's disgusting. I mean, you know, that's like saying all whites are racist. I'm like, no, they're not. Guess what? In the middle of that $1 million march was a whole bunch of white people with Dr. Martin Luther King, who put their life, their security, their family, their health on the line to march for equality back then. To say that lesbians have wide jaws and gays look more effeminate, that's not true. I mean, if a beautiful couple ends up with a beautiful child and that child just comes out looking extremely beautiful, is that their fault?
But there is a gay look. You look at some people and you're like, that's a gay.
No, Mark, you are correct, but that is sculpture versus as opposed to nature. Sculpture. Mm. What do I mean by sculpture? Sculpture versus nature.
She's talking about Justin Jedlicka, the human Ken doll.
Okay, exactly. What do I mean? Okay, so in life, they always say everything is nature versus nurture, right? Mm-hmm. Nurture is the surroundings that you're around with, and nature is the natural progress. In this case, it's going to be nature versus sculpture. Every gay man, you know, as much as most gay men can say that they can't stand drag queens, and they can't, there's a lot of gays out there who can't stand drag queens. And I know many who own clubs.
They have good reasons.
They shouldn't have reasons, because here's the thing.
You just said all drag queens are bitches, and now you expect everybody to love them. You don't even like them.
Well, no, but they are good. They might be bitches, but there are facets to them that keeps the community together and intact. You know, nature versus nurture. Mm-hmm. Every gay man at some point or another gets a part of his lingo, and lingo has to do with everything from their look to what they say, how they dress, from a drag queen somehow along the way. So moving forward with that, think about this. If a gay guy looks kind of, you know, quaint, that's my word of saying cunt. That's my way of saying she looks stush. That's a Jamaican term, by the way.
Stush?
Stush is it's a Jamaican and an English term. Stush meaning the same thing, looking very cunt, quite quaint. Just like the word tootsie. Tootsie is an old phrase from back in the day.
But what it means is, it's Polari. Tootsie is a bottom in Polari, and like Tootsie trade is like when you hook up with another bottom, and that's why they have those Tootsie rolls, are those little brown nuggets, because they look like they're little poops.
Well, in England and in Jamaica, in England and in Jamaica, toots is another word for a very stylish woman.
Okay, she's a bottom, right? Probably.
Stop. My mother was known as Toots because she was very stylish. She was known as, I don't know why she wasn't then surprised that one of her children became a fucking queen, which is beyond me.
Because you took the car horn when you see her walking down the street, because she's cute.
So gay men get part of their culture from drag queens. That's just a known fact. Their lingo, some of their whatever mannerisms. And so when you know, when it says that an algorithm can spot a gay person, it's because that gay person has sculpted themselves to look in their mind's eye what they think a gay person should look like. I'm going to go out and get my brows done. I'm going to get out and get this manicure done. I'm going to go out and get this highlight put on my face. There's a lot of queens walking around with that pheromone highlight on their face in regular daylight, honey. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that is not because nature told them to do that. That's called sculpture. Okay? That is called sculpting oneself to fit the look. And there's nothing wrong with it at all.
Because well, I believe so that the, whether the AI recognizes the sculpting or the physical similarities, I don't know.
I think what it recognizes, it was a straight man's tired attempt of trying to categorize gay people into a codified box so that they could use it as a way to identify us.
Wouldn't that be wonderful to have perfect gaydar to walk down the street and have your little glasses
what I'm talking about right now is that smartphone technology right now, they've announced a lot of new models in the past coming months, and a big feature of them is augmented reality, which is to explain it really fast, it's stereoscopic cameras that look at the world around you and shape it in a three-dimensional way. And so this algorithm, I can imagine, will be bought out by Grindr, who has deep pockets in China, and they're going to use it as a, so you can at the gym, you hold it in somebody's face, and you can find out if that hot guy at the gym is gay or not, DTF or not.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I can see that being a thing where, like, you set up your phone. You could set up your phone persona in terms of what you would want your avatar to be. So when they turn on that camera and shine it in your direction, it gives that version of that illusion of what you want yourself to look like.
And just for the record, like when you use your thumbprint or your face to unlock your phone, that information is actually stored on your phone. It's not sent to any server. And actually met the woman who actually, a transgender woman, the photographer, Kate. I'm blanking out on her name, but
do I know her?
Yeah, the photographer, the tall redhead woman that we run into. Kat Fitzgerald. She actually worked on the Secure Element, which is the name for the technology that stores your fingerprints on your phone.
People are really worried that people are going to use the phone, like your girlfriend is going to take your phone while you're sleeping and hold it up to find out like who you're texting, or like the police are going to use it to unlock your phone to go through it, and so.
There's a lot of anxiety right now with this type of technology.
Mark, it's America. Trust me, the government is already doing that.
You sound like a police officer breaking into your own home.
Sweetie, let me tell you something. I do not trust that I'm black. I don't even call them the government. I use the black Ebonics name for the government. I don't trust the government, okay?
Well, there's pressure on Facebook to release campaign ads that were bought by Russia to manipulate Americans to voting for Trump. So, and Facebook is like, what political ads?
You mean, well, you know what? They do say what don't come out in a wash will come out in a rinse. So in time, you know, people remember 10 years ago. 15 years ago, people kept on insisting that the government did not conspire to kill Dr. Martin Luther King. And 7 years ago, the government finally did admit that they did it and pay out the family money. So, yes, I don't trust the government. I believe that even though these technologies are being created in the private sector, because it's geniuses who know how to use, who know how to use coding and make all these beautiful apps. The government is sitting behind all of that shit and going, girl, let me snatch a copy of that and pay for your subsidiaries and help you get that app to life. You could keep the app and keep doing it your way, but we now have the patent over here and we're going to use it our way. And trust me, they are using it and they are getting better at the ability to identify people. The one thing that's left for them to fully do is to be able to physically face lock people in and then voice recognize technician them down to a T. Because at that point, think about the next time that you owe a college, a student loan, and they call your phone number, and you say, girl, that's not me. And it goes, well, based on the voice algorithm computer software we have over here, it says this is you. And based on the fact that your phone is blinking left and right, we now got you the rights on your face look. So my friend Carrie, she was one of the queens running around for the conference. She said, if this new facial recognition thing is a thing, will it be able to recognize when drag queens start to put on enough things on their face that they won't be able to, that the phone won't be able to identify the drag queens and lock them out of their iPhones because the initial picture that they took their picture with for recognition is not what the drag queen look is representing for when the queen needs the phone while they're at work.
If you put prosthetics on, because the software is actually looking at the surface of mm-hmm. your face, it's not actually taking a mm-hmm. photograph. So, like, for example, when you post a picture of a drag queen on Facebook, it's a two-dimensional image, right? This is a three-dimensional shape of your actual face, and it's picking up on the
it's some
surface.
Of that facial recognition software that they have out there too. It actually, it looks at the ears too, and so the people have tried to like fake it like in airports or whatever security things, you know, by putting on a mustache or doing something with their nose, that kind of thing. But but people often forget to cover up their ears,
and that's why drag is so revolutionary, because ultimately, you know, I know a couple of drag queens that wear prosthetics like Acid Betty, and every time you see her, you're I don't know who the fuck you are.
Nina Bonina Brown, and also Milk. So by the way, DragCon, everybody who gave my assistant Adrian their phones to have their pictures taken with me, check out the shade. Their phones would actually face recognize Ornatia's instead of me.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. She's kind of more famous than you are.
Yeah, you're her caretaker.
I wonder if she'd be a better guest than
you. Want to hear something? You want to hear something? Okay, listen. I'm sure she's a better cocksucker. I'm sure she's a better cook. I'm sure she's a better guest. But at the end of the day, that bitch's paycheck comes to this black bitch. Okay?
It's a pleasure.
All that matters.
Thank you for being a friend. Thank you for being a fierce queen and always being such a good guest on the show.
And thank you for your Kickstarter donation of that phone conversation. How many do you want a limit on this? How many people can sign up?
Because people do, like, you'll probably fund the whole series through that if we live it
on. Well, my philosophy is you better send me back a kickback price. You better send me some money, my PayPal, bitch. I'll be over there. I'll be knocking on your door dressed as the bone, you know, Osama bin Laden with a bomb, brown honey.
You're breaking the phone. What? I'm sorry, the line's cutting out.
I can't hear you. You're breaking up. You're losing reception.
Should we do three?
This is what
it's three.
By any means necessary, of whatever it takes. Let's aim for ten. That'll give you about two times.
But what if nobody buys them? Then it's like, oh, come on. You can hang out with Vivacious for an hour on the phone. You know,
well, the
that
question,
would be amazing.
I don't want to hear somebody just on the phone going.
For an hour, I'll put on the television set or whatever, you know.
No.
Well, you and I can talk to each other and they can listen in.
The questions need to be entertaining and they need to be engaging. So sure that they
you know, sometimes the fans just want to like hang out. They're just like, what's RuPaul really like? You know, and that's okay. Be like, RuPaul is a really nice person. And Coco Peru, she's an extremely nice person. In fact, if you see Coco Peru, make sure to tell her she's a very nice person. That's all you need to say.
Is this reassurance before she comes and breaks down your door?
Coco actually said that it's very nice to run into listeners of the show, mm-hmm. and she always appreciates it.
Yes.
And you know, they all say, you know, you really are a nice person, as Fausto says, you know, and she's like, duh. You know, because a part of it is like, listen, you know, Coco is a very busy entertainer, and she has a lot of gigs, and she has a limited amount of time with the fans. Mm-hmm. And And, you know, when they're meeting with her, you know, they go, oh, you're a really nice person. They're almost a little bit manipulative, you know?
Well, also, too, it's like, oh, I know these guys from Feast of Fun, so I better be nice to them. Or if Mark and Fausto find out I'm not nice to them, I'll never hear the end of it.
Well, you know what she texted to me? She said one time, she's like, you remember when I said I was a nice person? I lied.
I take it back. I take it back.
I'm
yes, Coco.
I'm not a nice person, Fausto.
I'm a bitch.
And we still love her. And we love you, Vivacious. God damn it. Thank you so much for being part of this world.
Love you both. And thank you all the wonderful, wonderful DragCon with wonderful memories to last me a year. I would love to do that.
Admit it, you went home wearing those three heads and you rubbed one out.
Actually, no. I came home and went to the hospital for anxiety.
Oh dear, really?
Yeah, honey, my body was mentally exhausted after all of that. I had to go in and have an IV drip to like reset my blood pressure.
Oh, my God. Listen, you got to call me next time.
You need to take a potty break next time, okay?
Take a bathroom break.
No, what it was
good limits.
Let me drop some. Now, this is where it's going to sound shady and tea. 1 week before the first of September, a few queens who shall remain nameless, we were supposed to be going on a tour to a certain country. The country decided to discontinue the tour, which meant that the money that we were supposed to pick up did not come in, which also meant that the money that we spent to make costumes for the tour was now couldn't do anything with it because we couldn't use that money to use for DragCon because we used it to make costumes for the tour. So now we're out of money that we spent for the tour. And so now we had 7 days to get all our shits together. Well, for me anyway, because I'm not rich like the other two bitches from the tour. Mm-hmm. So then I had 8 days to then, they finally made the final decision to cancel the tour on the 1st of September, the night before, on the 31st of September. And so on the 1st of September, I literally had to run out to go get everything that I needed for this, for DragCon. And have it made by in 7 days to get to DragCon. So that literally gave a fierce anxiety and stress on me. Thank you to those people who canceled the tour. And so the stress was at the point where my blood pressure was 162 over 83 with a pulse of 113.
But you know what? What didn't kill you? It just pissed you off.
Well, put it this way, if I could spit acid, I would send it right at those people. They know who they is.
But this and happens so, with entertainment. Listen, forgive them because they might book you and actually pay you next time around, you know?
Well, the next time around, so normally
it's
my contract...
It's disappointing, but at the same time, it's like, at least they considered you for the gigs.
Well, normally my contract says you need to send a deposit within 7 days of getting a contract. This time around, I'm just going to hold them to it. And if they decide not to, I'm just going to take that booking date and give it to the next person who goes, hey, can you work that same date? Because I was offered another gig in another country at the same time, but I decided to honor the initial person going, hey, we want you on this tour. I could have taken the one in the other country and screwed them over instead, but I decided not to.
You came back from Sweden. You met Andreas. Andreas Larsas met you.
Oh, you were in Norway, right?
Norway, yeah. And I was like, yeah, you met some of the listeners of the podcast. Listen, we got to wrap this up. I got to put up the videos and all that stuff. Vivacious, it's a pleasure. It's an honor chatting with you.
Same here.
And just breathe, baby. Lower that blood pressure. We need
yes,
you.
Yes, honey. I know, child. I can't leave the planet yet. And thank you, Feast of Fun, for having me. And to all you wonderful fans out there, make sure you donate to the Kickstarter so we can get the next season of Feast of Fun and Cooking with Drag Queens up and running.
Yes, girl. Thank you so much for your support. It was a pleasure to actually see you again in the flesh this past weekend.
And I know. That was so... I was like, who's that cute guy standing there? Oh, my God. He looks like Mark. Oh, God. It is Mark. Where's Fausto? He's right... He's around somewhere.
They travel in packs.
They travel in packs.
Bye-bye, Vivacious.
Alrighty, I'll catch y'all later.
Later.
Bye.
Vivacious lives in New York City, honey.
Where is she, up in Harlem?
I know where she lives, but I'm not going to say exactly where she lives. But check out Vivacious on Vivacious NYC on Facebook. Mm. And you can order your very own Vivacious head. And
Ornacia head.
Ornacia head, yeah. I'm sorry.
PayPal.
Vivacious is the head that Ornacia usually rests on. But you can have your own Ornacia, which is a styrofoam head with glowing eyes that are bejeweled and a very comfortable stocking cap, all handmade. This is like Etsy on steroids, honey, on estrogen. And
Jamaican
it looks
estrogen.
Jamaican estrogen, looking fierce and fabulous. Yeah. And you just, you know, it's the perfect Halloween's coming. Mm-hmm. You want to dress up as Vivacious for Halloween.
It's perfect. But you don't want to do blackface. Just
well,
do
you
your
know,
own face and have it on top. People will get it. Unless you're black, then it's already, it's okay. But you know what's really wonderful, though? Isn't it sweet of her to offer to make the a reward for a Kickstarter? Is 1 hour phone conversation with her, and we'll kind of moderate it, or we'll just sit back and let you guys talk, and I'll just make sure it doesn't get too cuckoo.
Or weird, yeah. I was like, Vivacious, calm down.
And so go to cookingwithdragqueens.com and pledge today. Limited quantities.
She'll put you together. Mm-hmm. If you have problems in your life, she will set you straight or queer for that matter. But, you know, I wish that every person in our audience could have the experience of talking to Vivacious for an hour on the phone for $200. Mm. You spend that much money going to see your therapist. Skip the seeing the therapist this week. And talk to Dr. Vivacious about what troubles you.
That's right.
She will get you together and slap that fan over the phone. And
Vivacious
and say,
is not an accredited therapist.
Yeah.
Not
for entertainment purposes only.
Alaska or Hawaii.
It's valid in Puerto Rico. It's valid in Alaska. It's valid in Hawaii.
Yeah.
But it is for entertainment purposes only, which means that it is not a substitution for actual medical help if you should need it. If you die, if you get accidentally dismembered, if something fucks
you. If she tells you to jump off the roof of a building.
Don't do it.
You know.
But if you get accidentally hurt, we cannot be held responsible for this. This is, you are paying for the time. Whatever happens between the two of you is up to you both. It's your responsibility.
Yeah.
It's just like a sex worker, you know. You're paying for the time, and if the sex happens, go for it. Basically, you're going to have sex with Vivacious.
It could be an hour of phone sex.
It could be
anything you want. I want to remind folks, too, that we can't do this podcast, the one you just listened to, without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus. Your contribution to this show is what makes this show happen. We want to keep Feast of Fun going. We want to be around for a long, long time. And don't think somebody else is going to take care of it. If you're listening, we need you.
You're investing in your favorite entertainment, in the shows and podcasts and videos that you love. If you don't treat yourself, you cheat yourself.
That's right.
And so you gotta, I mean, really, like, for $3, you get access on the Kickstarter to all the cooking, not just the Cooking with Drag Queens videos. You get access to all the projects that we have behind the scenes. This is stuff that doesn't make it to the YouTube channel. It's on the Kickstarter, and you can, you know, for $200, you can talk to Vivacious on the phone, which is pretty damn amazing.
That's pretty damn good.
Click today, cookingwithdragqueens.com. I am Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back soon with more fun.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.